Saddle up your horses.
Welcome to Red Sky Radio with Rob Walter. This is the program that proclaims liberty to the captives of our beloved nation, where truth trumps political correctness, where the uncompromised word of God exposes the works of darkness and sets free those held hostage behind the iron curtain of a shamelessly biased media. For God has called us to stand for truth, and having done all to stand, we will stand. It's time to fight the good fight of faith to preserve our country, our families, fortunes, and sacred honor, to protect our property, our schools, and yes, maybe even salvage some of our churches. America, we have a trail to blaze. It's time to saddle up. It's time to ride. Now, here is your host of Red Sky Radio, Rob Walter.
Well, hello, America, and welcome, world, to Red Sky Radio, where we ride hard for the brand of Jesus Christ. We got a packed program today. Before I forget, if you want to reach me, info@redskyradio.net, info@redskyradio.net. You will not find me on Facebook. You will not find me on Twitter. No Twitter, no Instagram. We don't do that. Those forces are distinctly aligned against conservative Christian talk. Isn't any question about it. So I'm just getting used to being without them right now. It's a whole lot easier. But I want to just share with you, we start with good news. In between, until we get to the end, try to end with the good news. It can be kind of a rough ride in between. But I have to just make a comment right out of the gate on the importance of this election as reflected by a story that I don't think anybody else has covered. It's a small little news item. In the overall scheme of things, it's pretty small, except that sometimes there are small things that reflect great things. In and of themselves, they don't mean much, but they're reflective of something much, much greater. And what might that be? I saw this video this week. I laughed. I kind of rejoiced. I was humored. It was an Amish buggy parade for Trump in Fredericksburg, Ohio. That's right. This parade was long. It was buggy after wagon after buggy after wagon after buggy. And they were all decked out. There was a cheering. Now, look, I have great respect for the Amish people and the Mennonites and the German Baptists, which I met for the first time in Kentucky a few years back. But these aren't people that get particularly elated, at least publicly, about anything. They're very calm. Their demeanor is just very very level, I guess you would say. They just don't show great excitement about things, not publicly anyway, and that's not a negative in any way, shape, or form. But I have to tell you, this is a small little deal. There's nothing going on in Fredericksburg, Ohio. But when the Amish have a pretty big, I might add, a pretty big, especially in relationship to the size of the town, buggy parade, American flags, Trump flags everywhere. They're just horses just going down the street, sauntering along, and it's all Trump, 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 Trump. That tells you the importance of this election, and it also reflects the depth of the passion for this president that people have. When the Amish are hosting a buggy parade for a presidential candidate, you got to know that, A, this election is important, and number two, these people are fired up. Because they don't display this kind of public support in a political environment. I mean, these are people who are conscientious objectors, right? Nothing against that, except that you can't have a whole country of Amish because you can't have a whole country's conscientious objectors because we wouldn't have anybody to defend our country. But in any event, I thought this was huge. I loved it. And God bless you guys in Fredericksburg and gals. Next piece of good news. All right. President Trump is going to sign an executive order. In fact, by the time this program airs, he may well have signed it, called the Born Alive Executive Order. And he confirmed a couple days ago that he's going to do it. I don't know what day he's going to do it. He did mention this at the National Catholic Prayer Breakfast, that he would sign this Born Alive Executive Order. He said to help fulfill the nation's, quote, and I love this, sacrosanct morality, end quote. He said, he pointed out the eternal truth that, quote, every child born and unborn is made in the image of God. I will always protect the vital role of religion and prayer in American society, and I will always defend the sacred right to life. Today, I am announcing that I will be signing the Born Alive Executive Order to ensure that all precious babies born alive, no matter their circumstances, receive the medical care that they deserve. End quote. Folks, this is somebody who used to support abortion. Now, he didn't come over to the pro-life side just because he thought that the 80% of the country is pro-life. That's not the case. That was a, if we speaking politically, it was a political risk and gamble for him to just become increasingly stronger in support of the pro-life movement. Now, Matt Staver of the Liberty Council said, quote, we applaud President Trump for once again protecting the lives of precious babies that have survived an abortion and are fighting for life. If this protection is not implemented, the abortionist simply backs away from the table and leaves the baby to suffer and die. We must continue the fight to make the womb a safe place once again in America. And of course, you all know the situation about Northam, the governor of Virginia, who not only sanctioned, but basically applauded the opportunity to let babies just die on the birthing table. Just lie there and die. Northam, who I understand has actually applied for the position of Antichrist, is the epitome of the wickedness that represents the Democrat Party. Also reflected in Hillary and Kamala Harris and Biden and Obama, right on down the line. Chuck E. Cheese, Schumer, you know, it right on down the line. But this is a big deal. But I want to, I've got to back up something here. Back up, that's not even the right word. I've got to continue with something here on this particular topic that is really important. And that is, two things. All right, before I even get to the first thing, I'm backing up already. Number one, I'm not sure that the president has the constitutional authority to issue this executive order. Now, I think he has exceeded his authority on a couple of things. This is one where I think actually he does. Remember, this is a two-point comment. This is only the first point. Don't turn me off yet because you'll like the second point. But I think he's beyond his constitutional authority. And where did he get these ideas? Well, he got them twofold. One from Barack Obama. B.O. himself exceeded his authority in cases with the executive orders. And second of all, Trump is a guy who just gives orders. Hey, you're fired. You're hired. He's a businessman. He plays by a little different set of rules. I think he has great reverence for the Constitution, but I think he's exceeded it in this respect. Now for point number two, and this is more important than point number one. There are times, and this is one of them, when there is a moral imperative to break the law and go beyond and outside the Constitution. A moral imperative. Now, I mentioned a couple of weeks ago in the air when somebody had, it's a couple of people actually have kind of encouraged me to run for governor. I don't know if God would have that be the case in Arizona. Fine, whatever. But I did make this comment that if I were elected as governor, one of the first things I'd do is I'd issue an executive order, and I would, if under necessary, under threat of arms, close every single abortion clinic in the state of Arizona. Every single one. Closed. Unless it could be established that the life being taken was to protect the physical life, not the moral, not the financial, but the mother is going to die if the baby is born. This is a one in a million deal. Leave that one open, I guess. But it shut them down. Now, outside the Constitution, not really. That actually would not be outside the Constitution because Roe v. Wade is fundamentally unconstitutional. Harry Blackmun, they called his decision Black Harry's abortion. You know, when something is done really badly and it's botched, it's called an abortion. Well, that decision was an abortion. And there's no constitutional basis for Roe v. Wade whatsoever. It's just throw in a little First Amendment, Fourth Amendment, we'll try a little bit of Fifth Amendment, mix it together, bake it at 350 for 2.5 hours, and voila, you've got this right to an abortion. No such right. So I would not be violating the Constitution. I'd violate what those judges said, but what the judges said back in 1973 wasn't the Constitution. Maybe it'd be exceeding the authority of a governor to do that. I don't know. But there are times, and this is where Trump is correct. And point number two, Trump's, no pun intended, point number one, there can be moral imperatives that exceed the law. As I've said before, the last time I did the program on how do you know when you must disobey civil authority, I think it was about a year ago. I've done that program two or three times. There comes down, boils down to two times. When the law prohibits you from doing something God commands, or the law commands you to do something that God prohibits, not only can you must disobey civil authority because you owe an allegiance to God before you owe it to Governor Newsom or any president for that, or any governor or any president. And that would include Trump if he turned the other way. This is an important point. Okay. But it's good news that he signed it. It's clearly good news that he signed it. And what I find amazing about this is that Nancy Pelosi, she got all bent and jacked out of shape. And it doesn't really mean she's always out of shape, either because she really is not that smart or because she's drunk. One of the two. She bashed the Catholic supporters of Trump the other day ahead of his appearance at this National Catholic Prayer Breakfast that I just referenced. And the liberal nun, Sister Simone Campbell, was really bothered by Trump's comments as well. But Nancy, you're dyed-in-the-wool, certainly dyed-in-the-wool Democrat, but she certainly is not a dyed-in-the-wool Christian. She may be, I don't know, is she really Catholic? I don't think she is. In any sense of the word, because I think didn't the Archbishop in San Francisco deny her the right to take communion because she was supported slaughtering children in the womb? Well, the point here is that she came out and said, this is just simply hard for me to even swallow. Nancy said, quote, in reference to her dismay over Trump being invited to speak and what he would say, she said, quote, what would Christ do? We always say that. End quote. What? When, Pelosi? When in the 80 wasted years of your life have you ever said, what would Christ do? And that we always say that. Don't we say that? We always want to know, what would Christ do? When have you ever said that, woman? And then she goes on to make this audacious, ridiculous, asinine, pit of hell statement. Quote, well, there's a big difference between what Christ would do and what they're honoring this morning. Do you hear what she is saying? I want to read this again. This is the moral depravity of this witch. Quote, "What would Christ do?" We always say that. Well, there's a big difference between what Christ would do and what they're honoring this morning. End quote. All right, now let's go back to what Trump said. What did he say? Well, you just heard me say it. He said we're going to always recognize the validity and the sanctity of life. He said, quote, "Every child born and unborn is made in the image of God. I will always protect and defend the sacred right to life." Now, this is what Nancy is saying. There's a big difference between what Christ would do and what they're honoring this morning. What she is saying is Jesus Christ would support abortion. Jesus loves the slaughter of the unborn in the womb. That's what she is saying. Jesus himself, what would Jesus do? There's a big difference between what Jesus do and what they're saying and doing here about protecting unborn life, about every life being sacred in the womb and outside of the womb. So what else do you think that Jesus would honor, Nancy? What else do you think that there'd be a big difference between what Jesus would believe and what Donald Trump supports? Or anybody that would show up there and speak biblically? You know, this whole thing just had to do with abortion, but I'm supposing, are you going to say that Jesus would also support the right to queer marriage because you do? Because you do, it must be what Jesus would do. What, we always say that, don't we, Nancy? What would Christ do? Would Jesus support queer marriage? Would Jesus support raising taxes and increasing government regulations and having the government become an imposing tyranny over the people? In other words, would he support that which was what the Romans were doing to his brethren? Remember, he even called Herod a fox. He said to Pilate, "Hey, you don't have any power but what God has let you have." Would Jesus be open? Nancy Pelosi, one of the betrayers of the nation of Israel. Are you telling me, Nancy, that Jesus would betray Israel? Jesus, the one who wept over Israel because he wanted to take it like a hen would take the chickens and gather it unto him, but they didn't know what they were doing, and because he knew that they were going to be destroyed 70 years later. This is what Jesus would do. I got to get off this topic and move on here because we got too much to cover here. But that she would suggest, and she didn't just suggest, she basically said it. Jesus, what really loves and supports the execution of unborn children. One, Jesus, the one who said, suffer or allow. Suffer was the word in the King James, but it means allow. So allow the little children to come unto me. How can you get the little children to come unto Jesus if they can't even get out of the womb, Nancy? You pig. You absolutely pit of hell woman. Do you know what? You belong in the same grave with Ruth Bader Ginsburg, and more on her later. Oh, okay. I got to find a topic to... No. Let me just go to Ginsburg here. Let me just finish this bag off in a heartbeat. So Trump gets booed, the cat called, because he and Melania went to Ginsburg lying in state and paid their respects and then moved on. They were booing Trump even being there and so forth. And everybody's talking about Ginsburg. What a great justice. No, she was. She was from the pit of hell. I will tell you, you cannot sanction the execution of the innocent unborn children and be a hero. Who gives a rat's rear end where she was in law school and what she plowed through? Yeah, she broke some ground, but I'll tell you what, she broke more bodies than she ground that she broke. She broke more babies in half than she broke dreams. Or she broke more innocent children in half than she did glass ceilings. This I'll come back to Proverbs 11:10. The righteous rejoice when the wicked perish. Now, I'm not saying you, if she didn't accept Jesus, I'm not sitting here to tell you that I'm glad Ruth Bader Ginsburg is in hell any more than I'd be glad that Nancy Pelosi is in hell. Christ, Jesus said that the Lord says he takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked. Jesus, the Lord, God does not want anybody to go to hell. But there's a difference here, as I've mentioned before, and I need to point it out. This is not about wanting and rejoicing over anybody being in hell if, in fact, they didn't get saved just before they died. This is about being relieved of the oppression that witches like Pelosi are, and Ginsburg, and the oppression and the burden that they have foisted on the American people and the 64 million innocent unborn children that have died in the womb because of two bags from hell like Pelosi and Ginsburg. No, I don't show any respect to any of these women or Sotomayor or Kagan or any of these pro-abort bags. And they aren't just limited to women, but these are the two women that are in the news. Or these are the two that are in the news are women. Pay respects? What respect? I'm glad that is gone. Just like I said before, you know, we cheered when Hitler was dead, right? I mean, I wasn't around then because he was in hell, or probably in hell. Maybe he wasn't. Maybe he got saved. Maybe he and Eva said the sinner's prayer in the bomb bunker. I don't know. But if he didn't, the fact of the matter is we were glad that he was dead because an evil, burdensome, oppressive force had been relieved. The earth was relieved of that. And like I said, didn't the Munchkins sing Ding Dong, the Witch is Dead because the witch is in hell? No, but because they were relieved of the burden, and we sang right along with the Munchkins. While they were busy, no, I won't even go there. You see, Ginsburg and Pelosi don't come even remotely close, neither one of them, to fulfilling God's requirements for godly leadership set forth in Exodus 18:21. Please look it up, Exodus 18:21. I'm going to read it, but write it down. It says, moreover, you shall provide out of all of the people able men such as, and these are the three requirements, fear God, men of truth, and hating covetousness. Now, the ones that were being appointed here would be men, but whether it's the requirements would apply to women as well. If you covet power, if you covet this, Nancy Pelosi is a big coveter. Does she fear God? She obviously doesn't fear God when she's out publicly stating that an event that lauds and applauds the sanctity of human life is not what Jesus would do. Goodness sakes, does she fear God? No. She only fears AOC. That's the only one she fears these days. Is she a person of truth? Of course not. She's a lying hack and a hag from way back. The peace activity of the president in the Middle East, that's just a mere distraction. No, I was set up. It was a setup at that beauty salon, and doggone it, they owe me an apology. What a coveting hack. She's a liar. She doesn't fear God, and she doesn't hate covetousness. She's all about it. Ginsburg, obviously not a person of ultimate, consummate truth. Maybe she didn't tell lies, but she was consumed with a lie from the devil that she could just kill kids in the womb and a whole bunch of other things. Did she fear God? Well, obviously not. Was she a covetous person? I can't speak to that. She's missing two legs of the three-legged stool. Nancy's missing all three legs, and she's just sitting there on her derriere. So what would you do with Ginsburg? While her statues, her busts, whatever they are, hey, taking a clue from Antifa and BLM, you ought to tear them down. You ought to smash the bust. Hey, Antifa, why don't you do that? Because you're tearing down the statue of a person who actually hates a lot of blacks. How do we know that? Because more than disproportionately, not more than half, but disproportionately, the number of children killed in the womb are black. And Pelosi, racist. Ginsburg, obvious racist. The country's what, 12.5% black? And they comprised, what, 23 or 25% of all the abortions? And you love abortion, Nancy? You loved abortion, Ruthie baby? You must be a racist because what you're supporting disproportionately kills innocent unborn black children. Way to go. Oh, that's real cerebral. Okay, I got to get going, get off on that. Next. I am not here to tell anyone I told you so. I hate that. In fact, I can't stand the idea of bringing up to point out something that I pointed out before that would happen that now happens. Because I'm not so sure how prophetic I speak. You be the judge of that. But I can say that back in February and in March, when everybody's talking about the coronavirus and the excess of authority being exercised by Newsom and Whitmer and all these other slugs, I said, mark my words at that time. This is just a template for the future, and the future will be about global warming and the issuance of executive orders to force arbitrarily the will of Democrats on everywhere on the basis of an emergency premise to implement executive orders because they'll stink. And it's already happening. The Bay Area, San Francisco, the area to combat climate change. They are now proposing that they have, not right now, not tomorrow, but some point in the future, what they call a WFH order, calling work from home. It would be an order that 60% of the population must work from home to combat climate change. Well, if that's true, I'd hurry up and try to sell one of those 50-story buildings in downtown San Francisco, or maybe just a quake will take it out, and that's the end of that. I mean, they're already talking it. They're planting the seed. They're getting the idea in the people's heads that this is something that can be done, should be done, and as it comes up in renewed discussions, the timeline will be advanced, the timeline will be accelerated, and it'll be a foot in the door. They'll say, well, we got to have critical businesses. Look, I don't know how you clean somebody's pool from your house. I don't know how you change the oil on somebody's car from your living room. I'm not really sure how any of this nonsense works, but I'll tell you, common sense was never common among Democrats. Not when you got a reprobate mind. Okay, we got so much more to cover. You know what? We don't have time here. No Newsom. No gas-powered cars by 2035. That's only 15 years away. No gas-powered car sales in the state of California. This guy is so stuck on stupid and so in love with himself. Boxes of ballots found by the roadside in Wisconsin. I got to touch on this when we get back. But the military ballots that are cast for Trump found it discarded in Pennsylvania. And we're going to have an election run essentially by the U.S. Post Office. By government workers now are basically going to be conducting this election. More on that when we get back. Don't go away, Rob Walter, Red Sky Radio.
Red Sky Radio with Rob Walter is a listener-supported program. Please know that 100% of your contribution goes to pay for airtime so that as many people as possible are able to hear that the Word of God has answers to every meaningful problem and issue in life. No one gets paid a salary at Red Sky Radio with Rob Walter, but in response to your support, we pledge to bring you the most timely and critical information you need to help make informed decisions in this age of media bias and a growing hostility to all things Christian. Your partnership makes you one of the watchmen on the wall with us, as described in the book of Ezekiel. Please send your support to Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. That's Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358.
We are back. This is Rob Walter with Red Sky Radio. On the previous thing about all the boxes of ballots found by the roadside in Wisconsin, and then the military ballots that were found discarded. This is what's different with this whole thing. Now, I know a number of people actually that work in various post offices currently and retired postal workers. And I have to say that the people I know, I really like, and they are generally quite conservative. However, and this is a big however, they don't represent the majority of postal workers. Postal workers, like other government employees, are predominantly supportive of anything that expands government, guarantees their job, expands their pay, reduces their hours. Without question, the great majority of government workers are Democrats. And what you have in this upcoming election, increasingly between ballot harvesting by Democrat-run private operations, but they're all Democrats, and the Postal Service, is that we are placing increasingly into the hands of government workers, not volunteers, not people from the League of Women Voters. Well, they've kind of gone sideways. But your volunteers that go down to the polling places and count, who are both Democrats and Republicans. No, it's increasingly now the handlers are government employees. And so I've come to the conclusion that Trump has to win by a landslide in order to get 51% of the Electoral College vote. Got to be a landslide to win. And God can do that. And I trust and that he will, hope and pray that he will. But you pray. And you pray like it's really, like your life depends on it, because it might. All right. Next. George Soros. We all know how much he funds. He is a big factor, along with Bloomberg, kind of working side by side, but not necessarily as partners, but carrying out the same evil design in corrupting the system. Whether it's bailing people out of jail or prison to get them to vote, or George Soros funding prosecutors, like the one that is in Kenosha, Wisconsin. The fact that Kyle Rittenhouse has five felonies charged against him, that prosecutor needs to be sued for malicious prosecution. There is a tort, T-O-R-T, not a tart, a tort. Means it's a civil action for malicious prosecution. Kyle Rittenhouse needs to sue the fanny off that left-wing George Soros-funded prosecutor in Kenosha, Wisconsin, who, when you watch all the footage of what went on, the only one arrested shouldn't have been arrested, and everybody who wasn't arrested should be, that was involved in this. But this left-wing hack of a DA in Kenosha, and if you're listening in Kenosha, fire this jack. Fire this guy. Vote him out. City Council, if you got any cojones, get rid of this guy if it's within your authority. The guy is absolutely a left-wing puppet. I'll go with that one. But I want to go beyond that to make this particular point. Why does Soros and Bloomberg and the well-heeled people, why are they posting everybody's bail? Well, there's not bail. They're posting bonds, I'm sure. It's not the actual bail, but they're posting bonds. It was usually 10% of the bail amount. Why are they doing that? Is it to make sure they can vote? Is it to make sure that they can continue protests? Sort of, but the continuation of the protests is not their goal. Now, I'm going to go out on a limb here. I'm going to say something I don't think anybody else has said. Doesn't really matter. I can't get fired by Fox News because I don't work for Fox or anybody else here. I honestly think that the powers that be that are funding these people, getting them out of prison, out of jail, funding their bonds to get them back on the street, here's what they really want. They want their own, quote, employees, end quote, like the guy that Kyle Rittenhouse in self-defense shot in the right hand. He's probably filing a workers' comp claim right now. They want these people dead. I said, what are you talking about? No, the people that are, whoever are funding these primarily white weenies, about 85 to 90% of these people are white. They're part of the BLM. They're just professional rioters. Some of them are very well healed. Like you saw in the Philadelphia situation the other day, it's amazing how the U-Haul pulls up and they unload all their weapons. The left unloads all their weapons for a, quote, spontaneous protest, end quote. The powers that be that are springing these people from jails, that are supplying the money for their food, their lodging, their transportation, their weapons, and everything. Yes, they want them protesting, but they want them actually to die. They want somebody who really is an extremist on the right, if there is such a thing anymore, to go out there and unload a couple of 30-round magazines and drop 50 of them. They want the police to overreact and kill a whole bunch of them. And I got to tell you, it wouldn't be overreacting anymore. The powers that be want the people that they have hired dead, because only if they are dead, then can your little Andy Coopers and your little Donnie Lemons and all the others that are on the left Democrat side from DNC, as Sean Hannity calls them. Only then can they come out and unload and show this is what the right is really like. They're all about this violence and killing people and overreacting, and they hate blacks or racist and all the crapola we've been hearing, but they don't have the proof. Look, Kyle Rittenhouse, you're not listening to this program, but for everything that CNN has called you, everything that MSNBC has called you, you need to sue their fanny until their fanny is hanging in the smokehouse over what they've called you, that you're the racist, pro-Trump, radical right-wing extremist. No, this is a 17-year-old kid who brought, who brought supplies to help people that got injured to the streets, the one who was cleaning up graffiti earlier that day after he finished his stint as a lifeguard. Oh yeah, he's a real right-wing radical. He must have been only saving white kids at the pool that were drowning. None of the black kids. They just let them drown. Come on, man. You see, the powers that be will not accomplish their objective of trying to get Trump out of the White House until they have proof that all right-wingers, everybody who is conservative, is a really radical right-wing racist, and you can't do it until some of their own chump protesters get killed. And a lot of them. They would love to see him dead. Next. Thank you for one of our listeners sent this story in. A listener in North Carolina sent this story in because it just broke about Democrats unveil a bill limiting Supreme Court justice terms. So they don't like the idea that Trump is going to have a chance to appoint a third justice maybe in the next 40 days. But if he gets a second term, another one for sure. And then after that, who do you got? Stephen Breyer, who's 78, I think, is the next one. Okay, well, here's this is what the brain dead and she is brain dead. Ro Khanna, a Democrat from California, is going to be introducing a bill next week that would specify and limit the length of term that a Supreme Court justice could serve to 18 years. And why? Because she and other Democrats don't like the fact that disproportionately these Supreme Court people are dying under the auspices of a Republican president. Well, not exactly. I mean, Obama put a couple of derelicts in there, right? Kagan and Sotomayor, a couple of baby killers, queer lovers, everything. Everything biblical they hate. And they love everything that's unbiblical. You can see that in their decisions. Did the Republicans stop that? No, they didn't. Did they promise that they'd pack the court once they got in power to override Obama's piece of crap picks that he made? No, of course not, because they got more honor. They're not perfect, don't get me wrong, but there is more honor. So Ro Khanna, the Democrat from California, wants to limit the term of the Supreme Court justice. And then the second part of the bill is that the legislation would also limit the number of justices that a president could nominate per term to two. In other words, we don't want what's going to possibly happen, and that is Trump can appoint three in one term. Now, this is how incredibly stupid this woman is from California. She's obviously never read the Constitution, although the Constitution doesn't mean anything to the left. The Constitution is just a speed bump on the road to socialism for the left. But if they paid any attention at all to the Constitution, Roe would see that Article 3, Section 1 states that the Supreme Court justice shall serve for a term consisting of good behavior, as long as the judge doesn't get whacked out and doesn't get recalled or impeached, actually is a term, impeached for exceedingly bad behavior, it's for life. So what Roe, this idiot, doesn't even know is that she's proposing a piece of stupid House-based legislation to override the Constitution. She's trying to amend the Constitution with a simple majority bill in the coming out of the House of Representatives. She also is so screwed up that she doesn't know Article 2, Section 2 of the U.S. Constitution, which are the executive powers, stating that the president shall appoint vacancies and justices of the Supreme Court. Well, let me ask you. So you have two vacancies and you appoint two, right? Kavanaugh and Gorsuch. And then a third one comes up. Trump has a constitutional authority, yes, but more than that, he has a constitutional obligation. What? I mean, so she's trying to override the U.S. Constitution again. She's trying to amend the Constitution with a stupid House-based bill. Because they're not getting their way. They're a bunch of whiny crybabies on the left. You see, they were fine with courts that went their way, with a Warren court that gave them, you know, everything back in the 60s on the left and threw prayer out of school. That was a Warren court, a left-wing court. Bible reading out of school. That passed Roe v. Wade, the baby-killing court. The queer marriage court, they love it when it's on their side, but when it doesn't go their way, now they want to try to limit really designed Republican presidents, really moral Republican presidents, get more specific, wants to override the Constitution. Because it says the president shall appoint. The president has that duty and obligation. He shall appoint vacancies to fill in the Supreme Court. It's a constitutional obligation. It is a duty that she's trying to override with a piece of simple legislation. Okay. You know what? I got three comments I want to make in relationship to this story. First of all, they're the ramifications. if Congress could alter the constitutional duties and obligations and impose limitations just by mere congressional legislation would override the Constitution, then there would be nothing to prevent them from saying that there must be on every Supreme Court of how many ever people, there must be at least one queer. There must be at least one tranny appointed. The president shall appoint somebody queer as a $3 bill on the court, or somebody who's so screwed up with gender dystopia that they think that they're a man when they're a woman or a woman when they're a man. They're totally messed up, not knowing that God created a male and female, and also not knowing that sodomy is an abomination to God. No, we're going to require that, and also we're going to inquire, we're going to demand that at least one of the Supreme Court justices be a multiracial transgendered midget. I mean, am I sounding stupid? Of course I am. But the thing is, if you can just override the Constitution with legislation, then nothing will be withheld from them. Like the people wanted to build the Tower of Babel, God said, look, we got to mess up with our language, because the way they're going, there will be nothing that will be withheld from their imagination. And keep in mind what it says in Romans 1, that they do not want to retain the knowledge of God in their conscience, which is what God gave them over to, a reprobate mind. Okay. What's number two here? I wish I could read my writing. Okay, so, oh, yeah. Okay, I'm sorry. You know what? I couldn't read my writing. So, Rob, what's wrong with you? Here, this is a great idea. This is I wouldn't normally say that I've got a really great idea, but I have one. And I got to let you know about it. Otherwise, I would be amiss if I didn't share a great idea. Here's a great idea. I think there should be a requirement. Now, maybe this is constitutional. Maybe not, but at least it has a possibility of constitutionality, because you have some limitations that you could impose, I suppose, on who runs for Congress, right? Sort of, maybe. I think there needs to be. It can't be to run for Congress. I think that would probably be unconstitutional. But before you get sworn in, or certainly after you are sworn in, Congress could pass a law that absolutely requires that congressional person is not able to participate unless they pass a test, a national test, to provide and prove that they are competent in understanding the United States Constitution. That's right. You have got to prove that you have a rudimentary understanding, something that probably would be an eighth grade level, freshman in high school, maybe at the max, understanding of the basics of the U.S. Constitution, and pass a test. And maybe you don't get to vote. You can't stop them from getting elected. I don't think so, because I think you would be altering the Constitution. I'd be proposing the very thing that I've just been opposing. But I think you could put limitations on them once they are elected as to what they can and can't do, until they prove by passing a test that they have at least a basic rudimentary understanding of the U.S. Constitution, which, by way of this legislation, Ms. Ro Khanna, Democrat from California, would flunk gloriously. Point number three, ramification number three. I'm sounding like Joe Biden, aren't I? Franklin Roosevelt, Democrat, wanted to pack the court. Forgot who it was earlier. I think it was back in the Clinton days, but I don't know if it was Clinton. I think it was, who talked about the possibility of packing the court. You got Pelosi talking about packing the court. Schumer packing the court. Ocasio-Cortez. Or Alexandria Ocasio. Wait a minute. What is her name? AOC. Anyway, talk about packing the court. You know what? If Trump's reelected, maybe they ought to pack the court. Maybe we ought to, maybe we ought to throw on four conservatives and we end up with, you know what, a 10-3 division on the Supreme Court. Maybe the Republicans ought to pass it and say, gee, thank you, Democrats, for this idea. Occasionally you have a good one. The way you're going to apply it is bad, but the origin of the idea is kind of good. Okay, I got just a few minutes left here. I am getting an increased amount of mail about my comment that, and I've been made for a long time, that we're headed for civil war and that the United States will be divided. The division will, there could be civil war without the division. There could be a civil war after there's a division. And it won't be North versus South, really. It won't be the same issues. The fact of the matter is the good side in the Civil War will have blacks, whites, Hispanics, and Asians. The bad side will have whites, blacks, Hispanics, and Asians. The divide will not be along racial or ethnic lines. The fact of the matter, when you see all these, like I say, these white weenies out there protesting BLM and they're 85 to 90% white. Some of these crowds, it's hard finding a black guy in there. They're in there, and some black women, they're in there, but their representation doesn't seem to be terribly much greater than their percentage of the whole population. So it could well be that in a civil war, there is a significant number of Hispanics and blacks on the right side. And the division will occur because God has ordained it. You're going, what? Are you kidding me? There's no way God could ordain the division. Yes, he can. Yes, he will. And if Scripture is a paradigm, and it is, he will divide it. Now, I got a letter or an email the other day from one of the listeners. Says, hey, I've been listening to you for a long time. You've talked about this country being divided, the Civil War. And these are, I think, his words. I know he used the word crazy. He said, I thought you were crazy, but not so much anymore. And it is something to the effect, I'm getting it. I'm seeing what you're talking about. I've had others say things that are similar or imply that this is just sort of a nuts thing, that this won't happen. There won't be secession. We're a union. Well, you know, so is a marriage until Satan gets involved and tears it up. But usually when there's a divorce, one side, there are two sides to every divorce, but almost in every divorce, one side does bear more fault than the other side. And it's going to happen here, just like it happened in biblical times. And so this is what I'm going to do for next week. It's going to be part of the program, unless something so huge knocks this out. I am going to go through the scripture that talks about why there will be a split of the United States. I will make the comparisons between the United States and Israel that's going to come out of scripture. And you're going to see why the division coming in the United States. Remember, if Trump gets elected, it's only another 4 years. Then what happens? And that's going to be part of the program. What happens in 4 years and 3 months, well, about 4 years and 6 months, after a Democrat could be sworn in? What happens? What do you need to do in the coming 4.5 years, or in the coming, in this case, 6 months, if Joe Biden gets elected? In other words, till he's sworn in. And the second half of that is people want to know, what states do I think will be part of the better side, the good side? What you must do, what you must know, what you must prepare for. You can't prepare for everything, and I am not suggesting that you run from a fight. This kid, moi, Robin Walter here, I don't run from fights. I have a tendency to run to them. But I also know that you pick and choose your battles. And you don't run to a battle that's a loser. You take note, you take stock of what you can win. George Washington didn't fight a battle for a year because he didn't have the vantage, he didn't have the position, he didn't have the men, he didn't have dry powder, and some of his men didn't have shoes. Look, he said, I'll fight a battle that I think I can win. And I've taken that from Washington, but I've also taken it from Scripture. No king goes to war without first counting the cost to see if he can do it. So you fight the battles that you must fight, that you can also win. We're going to cover that next week. You do not want to miss this program. You're going to want to tell people about it. Make sure that, I don't know, tape it or what have you. Do what you need to do and send this on to your loved ones, because you're going to find out how this nation will divide, why it will divide, the biblical basis, and the states that will likely, and I say likely, end up on the good side. This is Rob Walter with Red Sky Radio reminding you, you sit tall in the saddle, America, and wherever you're listening to this, you ride for the brand of Jesus Christ. God bless you. See you next week.